And I don't really have a title for this message tonight. And, you know, I guess if it would be a title, it would be simply trust him. It would just simply trust him. You know, it's amazing on this passage. And as we take a look in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 17. But before we do, let's go ahead and pray. And then we'll dive right into this passage. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you. And Lord, just thank you for this day and this time we're able to open up your word. Lord, I pray that you just speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord, to lead different than we came in. Lord, help us, Lord, to be on fire for you. Lord, I pray for revival in our church. Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord, to keep pressing on for you. And Lord, I pray that you just give me the words and thoughts as I preach. And Lord, I pray you'll just help me, Lord, as I deliver your word. And Lord, I pray that you just bless us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do and will do for us. We love you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hopefully everybody's there to Exodus chapter 17. And we'll start reading in verse 1 and then give a little context. And then we'll dive right into our main text tonight. But it'll still be in Exodus chapter 17. But if you take a look in verse 1 of the Exodus chapter 17. And it says, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide with ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And verse 3, and the people thirsted for there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that has brought us out of the Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. No, it's amazing. Just, you know, even if you just look, you know, even a couple passages over into Exodus chapter 14, and what great miracle the Lord has helped the children of Israel. And you don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 14, and to start reading in verse, you know, in 13, and it says, and Moses said unto the people, which is amazing, here, and it says, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, and ye shall see them again no more forever. So thankful. Look at this verse in verse 14. It says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And as we jump down just a little couple of verses over here, and it says in verse, in Exodus chapter 14, and it says in verse 18, it says, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and when I've gotten me honor, it got me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood before them. And it came to pass, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. But notice this, and we probably read this passage many and many times, but as we take a look into these passages, we're going to notice something here in Exodus chapter 17. But read with me in verse 21, it says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. No, amazing, you're running from Pharaoh, and you know you're going into here we at the Red Sea, and you know I remember even in Sunday school class hearing about, you know, the Red Sea, what Moses did, and you know that significance of the rod, and we'll actually see a significance of the rod here in Exodus chapter 17. But as the, you know, amazing, and when you go back, because you know all that wouldn't come to pass if it wasn't for the Lord that was with him. No, it would never came to pass. Hey, those waters will never be parted. Those waters, you know, they will be probably swimming for their life. But you know, amazing how the Lord used Moses. You know, as we talked about even this morning on, you know, the calling of Moses. You know, from that burning, fiery bush. And as I posed the question, you know, to the young people, you know, hey, are you willing? Hey, are you willing to serve God? Hey, are you willing to go wherever he wants you? Hey, are you willing to do whatever he has for you? And the same question that we can pose each and every one of us. Hey, are we willing? Hey, are we willing to go that extra mile for Christ? Hey, are we willing? Hey, I know sometimes we get exhausted. Hey, I can say that the same. I get exhausted a lot. But you know what? Every single ounce I give, you know what? It's worth it for Christ. You know, as I keep reading in verse 22, and it says, "And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon," you know, it's not wet ground, it's not watery ground, it's not, you know, an inch of water, but it says upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and unto the left. And we all ultimately know in verse 23 and on, it says, "And Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen, and everybody went in after the children of Israel." And notice in verse 24, "And it came to pass that in the morning watch," wow, it's amazing. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't, hey, Joshua. Hey, it wasn't anybody. But it says, "The Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud, troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariots' wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." You know, as we know, you know, as you keep reading, ultimately all those waters, what, just crashed into, you know, Pharaoh's army, and everyone that Pharaoh had was wiped away. You know, if it wasn't for the Lord, hey, it wasn't for their trust that they put into the Lord, hey, that would never come to pass. But as we see here, they came from this great miracle. And as you go back to Exodus chapter 17, and as we're seeing here, you know, they're, you know, look back at me in verse 1, it says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel," hey, everybody, their journey, they're probably tired, you know, as they're walking, and it says, "as they journey from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord in Pitchin Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink." You know, I'll tell you, I've been on hikes before, and sometimes you forget some water, and when you get to that top, your mouth is thirsty. You know, so dry. You feel it cave. You can feel like every ounce, and you're looking for water. You're just looking for a water on a rock or a water on a lead that, you know, you could just satisfy that thirst. But as we see here, you know, it says, "And there was no water for the people to drink." And then you'd like to notice what happened with the children of Israel. And it says, "Wherefore the people did chide." Now, that means to speak out anger, to speak with displeasement. And it says here in verse 2, "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide? Why are you displeased with me?" And it says, "Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And notice verse 3, it says, "And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, our children, and our cattle with thirst?" No, notice, you know, hey, that great miracle in Exodus chapter 14, and then now they're sitting here, hey, Moses, you brought us all the way here just to let us die of thirst. You know, Moses, you're going to just let us die? We're so thirsty. We need some water. You know, we've been traveling day and night, and why we just can't get some water? And it's amazing what's going to happen next. And notice, you know, as we notice here, and it says in verse 4, "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They almost ready stone me." You know, it's amazing when people come to a point when they're willing to take someone's life. You know, it's sad to see, you know, even in America, what sinfulness and what wickedness that we have today. And as we look, with the very chosen Israel. Hey, the Lord loved them so. The Lord loved the children of Israel. He wants the very best for them. And as they're sitting here, they're thirsty. They're going to a point of, hey, we need water. And why, Moses, you're not getting in this water? And they're almost ready to stone, Moses. What a scary moment that Moses had. When we think about thirsty, what the children of Israel should have been thinking about, not just thirsty of, hey, that physical water, but thirsty of that spiritual water that Christ gives us. That spiritual water that, hey, he could quench anything. He could quench that thirst. And the thirst after, hey, God's word. Hey, the thirst after what God wants. Hey, the thirst after what God wants them to do. Instead of complaining and instead of, hey, we are so thirsty. But ultimately, they got their eyes off of Christ. And they thought of self-motives. They thought of self-pleasure. But as we see here, notice in verse 5, we see here in verse 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, hey, that very same rod in Exodus chapter 14 that he used to raise, and it says, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. And it says in verse 6, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Notice, their thirstiness from journeying. And as we see this water, ultimately God is telling Moses, hey, how that water is going to be provided for them to be able to drink. That very same rod. And, as he got those elders and he went up and he smote the rock, ultimately, what water came out. And you think, imagine the children of Israel seeing, looking at the water. They were probably so thirsty, they just kept getting waters in their hand. And just, for example, I know whenever I'm thirsty, I'm just gulping it down. Sometimes I wish I have like one of those 44 ounces, big size cups, and just, I could probably gulp the whole thing. But notice, the children of Israel, as we're seeing here, as Moses smote that rock, God gave Moses the confidence. And as he used that same rod, which, hey, in Exodus chapter 14 and many more miracles that the Lord will use Moses with that rod, hey, that very same rod as he smote that rock, hey, that living water, hey, that fresh water that they were able to drink. And notice here in verse 6 here, and it says, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. It says in verse 7, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? They could easily answer that question for themselves. They knew that the Lord was with them, but they ultimately got their eyes off of them, that great sin. And as we see here, as we're building that climax, as we're walking up those stairs, and as we're, for example, we can imagine we're walking upstairs into our house as we're building to the top of the passage that we have tonight. And notice, ultimately, hey, the children of Israel are on for a battle. Hey, they're complaining about water, and ultimately thankful the Lord that blessed them with water. And as we see here, let's notice our main text tonight, and we'll be there pretty much for the rest of the night, and we'll look at a couple other passages as well. But notice in verse 8, and as we led up, from the Red Sea to, as we look up for the water or the rock, and thankful that the Lord has be able to get that thirst, away. But notice here, ultimately, what's going to happen. It says in verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. hey, they're getting ready for a battle. You know, ultimately, you know, as we think about, you know, hey, the children of Israel, hey, they, you know, as they're sitting here, as they're preparing, as, hey, ultimately, their only way of winning this battle is to rely on God. You know, the very same battles that we face, hey, we have to rely on God. Hey, maybe we're dealing with something, or maybe, you know, maybe it could be a family member, or maybe something that we have in our lives, and hey, we must be in total, you know, of relying upon God. And let's notice here, and it says, you know, verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I'll stand upon the top of the hill with the rock of God in my hand. No, notice, you know, Joshua, as Moses saying, hey, Joshua, I want you to go out, take these men, you know, ultimately, like, just like any battle, hey, you're trying to, you know, in a way prepare, you're trying to, hey, get a defensive strategy, you're trying to get an offensive strategy. And as we look, let's keep reading, it says in verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses has said, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. You know, as they're battling, you know, hey, these three men, Moses, Aaron, and Hur, and as they went to the top, as Moses had said, it says in verse 12, and it says, but Moses, you know, amazing that word, but. And it says, verse 11, and it says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. You know, hey, you know, ultimately, you know, what that verse is saying, hey, every time he will put his hands up, you know, hey, he is, the children of Israel is going to win. You know, you think about the prayer that Moses had. Hey, you think about that dedication of putting up those hands. And as long, hey, as he kept those hands raised high, hey, they're going to win. That sounds pretty easy. You know, sometimes, you know, I play some board games. You know, sometimes, you know, have some competition. But, you know, putting my hands up in the air, man, that seems pretty easy. And then ultimately, you know, hey, Moses put those hands down. So ultimately, hey, they are going to be losing that battle. But let's notice, ultimately, as we look in verse 12, let's notice what happens. And it says in verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. And the one on the one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now notice, you know, as Moses' hands, you know, imagine, you know, having your hands up for who knows hours or even, you know, once that, you know, as that battle's being prepared and as what Moses' hands were, hey, getting a little tired. You know, as, you know, hey, you know, maybe, you know, he's getting a little tired and he's like, he's trying so hard to get his hands in as he's praying, as he's seeking the Lord, and as he's trying to, hey, Lord, help us win that battle. Hey, help us, you know, defeat the Amalek. Hey, help us, you know, give me strength as I'm trying to keep my hands up. Now, notice, you know, as it says in verse 12, Moses' hands were heavy. Now, you think about even our lives. You know, hey, you know, maybe the Lord's saying, hey, hey, can you put your hands up? And you know what? Hey, as long as your hands up, hey, you know, I'm going to help you. You know, just like the Christian life. Hey, as long as we rely on God, hey, as long as we put our trust in him, hey, as long as we're following God's will for our life, hey, we're thankful that, no, he is always going to be there. Hey, in the good times and the bad times and even in the roughest times that we have in life. But, you know, you know, sometimes in life, as Moses, hey, our hands may be heavy. Hey, we may have some burdens. Hey, we may have some obstacles. Hey, we may have something that's in the way that, hey, that our hands are so heavy that it's so tough to make our hands all the way up in the air. You know, as we're slowly, that whether it be, you know, a burden or whether it be, you know, an addiction or you name it, it could be anything, you know, as it's slowly getting those hands down, you know, and the next, you know, you're leaving that one thing, win your life, you're leaving that one, you know, whether it be temptation, winning the life, and the next, you know it, you know, you just let go. You may, maybe the Lord's saying, you know what, hey, I want you to keep fighting. Hey, you know, as you think about even Moses, you know, maybe, the Lord's saying to Moses, hey, keep fighting, keep having those hands raised high, because you know what? I am going to be with you. No, hey, I'm going to help you. Hey, as long as you keep those hands raised high, hey, we, the children of Israel, is going to win. But once you let those hands down, those arms down, hey, you're going to just be in total defeat, and you're going to lose. No, how many of us are trying so hard, to follow God? No, how many of us, whether it be something in our life, whether it be, you can name it, but we leave it, drag our life down. Or maybe drag something what the Lord may want us to do. Or whether it be even a potential job that can get in the way for what the Lord will want us to ultimately do. How can we, follow God's plan for our lives? Hey, how many of us are willing, yes, it may be tough. Yes, we have a wicked world. But how many of us are willing to simply, even in this wicked world, Lord, you have me. Hey, even in this wicked world in which, yes, it's tough. Yes, just like as Moses, as his hands were so tough, it's trying to raise at times. And it says, verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. And, as it says, and they took, as we think about Aaron, Moses' brother, and then Hur, took that stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the other side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now you think about, we don't need, you think about it, we only need God. Sometimes we may try to put our arms up, but sometimes it could be, something we put in replace of God. We may try to look, with our hands raised, we may try to, think we're perfect, but we're not. But ultimately, what? You know who helps our hands to be held high? Who helps us? When we're sitting there, maybe our house, is built upon a rock in which it should be on Jesus Christ. When those rains come, when those rains came down, when those winds may beat upon that house, when those storms may come, when temptations may try to get us out of God's will, are we willing to keep our hands held high? Are we willing, always remember, in the army, they always try to keep that American flag raised high. And you know what? If that person, gets shot, or that person, ultimately, falls down, that other, army man is willing to sacrifice, his life to hold up that American flag. Now, how many of us are willing to sacrifice our life for Christ? Saying, Lord, your life, my life is yours. Whatever you want is yours. And let's keep reading. It says in verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, and took a stone, and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur, which are amazing how they helped Moses here, and it says, stayed up his hands, and the one on the other side, and the other on the other side, and the hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And notice here, as we look in these last three verses here, and it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put on the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called it the name of Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, what amazing passage. As ultimately they win, they won that battle. And as they made that remembrance of, the only way that they could win that battle is ultimately because of Christ. Now, notice with me Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 41, and, we know these verses here. Notice with me in Isaiah chapter 41, and it says in verse 10, and it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, notice this verse, and it says, Deuteronomy chapter 31, it says in verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that done good with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Now notice with me in Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28. Now notice with me in Matthew chapter 28. It says in verse 20. It says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." Now notice with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And it says in John chapter 14, in verse 18 here, and it says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And notice with me in the book of Philippians, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, in verse 19, it says in Philippians 4, 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." It's amazing to know, hey, amongst that battle, hey, when we have battles of life, hey, when we are at, a stop sign, or whatever we're at, it's amazing to know that, as we looked in the Bible, there's so many more verses that, he is always there. If it wasn't for God, they wouldn't win the battle. Hey, if it wasn't for God, hey, we wouldn't be here today. Hey, if it wasn't for God, hey, I would never have the opportunity, to be up here today. Hey, if it wasn't for God, I would never have been called to preach. Hey, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be able to lead someone to the Lord. But what an amazing thing, what an amazing time in which you could see someone to come to know the Lord as their Savior. Countless times as we think about Fasano, countless times I remember that even a couple weeks right before he got saved, he was raising his hand during the invitation. And as the Lord's working into his life and as the Lord's working into the young people, it's amazing to see as they're looking to God. Hey, they're not looking to man. Hey, they're not looking to me. Hey, they're looking to God. And it's amazing to see what God does. If it wasn't for God, ultimately, we wouldn't be on this earth. And as we, as we wrap up and as we, in Exodus chapter 17, what amazing thing to know, hey, in the midst of, hey, when our hands are heavy, maybe we're burdened, maybe something that's in the way, God is always there. Even when, hey, nobody's here, maybe you're saying, "Brother Corey, I'm going through something and nobody's here." But you know what? As we read the Bible, we are so thankful to know, Christ is always there. He would never, leave us nor forsake us. And it's such honoring to know what a great God that we have. And And I pray, as we think about this battle and as we think about everything that's been said, how much do we trust God? Let's ask I have to ask that myself. How much do I trust God for everything? And we'll have our head bowed and eyes closed, and we'll have Miss Anna come up here and play the invitation. We'll have a short